At the request of Brother Glenn, will you turn with me to Revelation chapter 4? We'll be reading verses 1 to 11. While you're turning there, just one comment concerning things that are occurring. Are you aware of how close we could possibly be to the mark of the beast? I'm not saying it's there, but just think with me for a minute. They want everybody to get a vaccination. Then they're talking about vaccination cards. What's going to happen if the vaccination cards all of a sudden start to be sold or stolen, or somebody uses somebody else's? The perfect answer, well, let us put a chip in the top of your hand or in your forehead. Beware. There's a scripture that says that mark is as serious that even the very elect can be deceived. Beware. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardon stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. As I read, the thought came to me, I think we've just read an account of a perfect worship experience. So with no further thought, let us bow before him.
Greet each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. Good to see each of you. And this morning, the sermon title is one word, worship, and we mainly take it here from this central scripture of Revelation chapter 4. Appreciated how Brother Jim prayed many things in his prayer, but the one that really stood out to me was that God would help each of us as we gather for worship to lay aside the cares of this life and seek God in worship while we're here. We're so busy all the week long. May God grant us the grace to lay all this aside, that we might truly worship him as we gather together in his house from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. I appreciated Brother Alex getting us singing there on the theme of heaven. Very fitting for the scripture before us this morning. So here in Revelation chapter 4, John, the Revelator, records the heavenly sight he saw in verses 1 through 7. He records there what he saw. And then in verses 8 through 11, John the Revelator records the heavenly songs that he heard. And so there's two parts to this vision here, I believe, in Revelation chapter 4. First of all, what heavenly sight he saw, and then the heavenly sounds that he heard in verses 8 to 11. Revelation chapter 4 starts the third major section of Revelation, things which must be hereafter. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 is a key verse to the book. And number one there, it says, write the things which thou hast seen. In other words, chapter 1, the vision of Christ. And number two there, it says, the things which are. Chapters 2 and 3, the conditions that are found in the seven churches. And thirdly, there it says, and the things which shall be hereafter, covering chapters 4 through the end, chapters 4 through through chapter 22. And so we begin that third major section of Revelation. It might seem odd to you, but the third major section is here already in chapter 4. And verse 19 of chapter 1 outlines that three-phase part of Revelation. Chapters 4 and 5 here, as we look at chapter 4 and 5 goes along with it, these chapters establish Christ's right and authority to act as the judge of the earth. God on his throne invests the line of Judah with the authority to establish his dominion and kingdom on earth because of his redeeming work as the Lamb. Remember, John the Baptist saw Jesus one day and he said, behold the Lamb. Another time the scripture says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Revelator heard the voices of tens of thousands of angels in chapter 5. He heard the voices of tens of thousands of angels saying, worthy is the Lamb. Thou wast slain and redeemed us to God. Revelation chapter 4 this morning. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And so first of all, we notice here in this chapter of Scripture that a door was opened. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. This verse starts with these two words, after this. After what? After the vision of Christ in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And after receiving messages and delivering them to seven churches. John is saying, I had yet another vision. We learn of the future. Only what God chooses to reveal. Some future events are veiled until God chooses to open that door. I believe Bible scholars would do well and ought to not to pretend to be wise beyond what God reveals. Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. A trumpet talking with me signifies an authoritative voice. You hear a trumpet, it gets your attention. And this is what John hears, a voice as of a trumpet. It's authority. It's a powerful voice. Here we have John being called into the third heaven. You know what? There is a way opened into the holiest of all, that we may enter by faith and holy love for God. Mark chapter 15, verse 38, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, as Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross of Calvary. That veil was rent. It was torn from top to bottom. The veil that hung between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the temple was opened up at the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God who offered himself, a sober reminder of how sin separates man from a holy God. He cannot be in his presence. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, for there we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Revelation 4, verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. John suddenly, immediately finds himself in the Spirit. And so for this vision that John is to be given by God, John is in the Spirit. In the body or out of the body, we don't know. I don't know exactly what was going on here, whether he was in the body or out of the body, but all bodily actions, I believe, were at least suspended for a time. His spirit possessed with the spirit of prophecy, completely under divine influence. And that goes along with Brother Jim's prayer for us this morning. What controls us right now as we have gathered for worship? The more we block out the fleshly and the earthly, the more able and fully we are to fellowship and commune with God and experience a heavenly time. Or don't we experience that when we gather here? Are we just thinking of negative things and what frustrates us and what we have to face tomorrow? Shame, if that's the case. We are here to be refreshed. We are here to honor and glorify and worship the Creator, the God of heaven. And so God help us to be heavenly focused as we sang about this morning, as we meet for worship. The Bible challenges us that if we are indeed risen with Christ, we should be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and we're to be setting our affection on things above, not on things on earth. That includes every day of the week. But hopefully, for sure, God would help you and I to at least do that today. Hopefully to a greater degree even than we do Monday through Saturday, but as the world around us gets darker, should we not be drawn upward and heavenward and think more and more about that home that is to be coming in the future, where none of these troubles and trials and all the evil, all the corruption that is on this earth will not be there, but will be gone forever. So God help us to block out the fleshly and the earthly, the material, and gather here and worship God. And God, may He help us to do that more throughout the week, as the coming of Jesus Christ draws nigh. And one day we will certainly exchange time here for eternity. And we will then experience eternity in heaven or hell. And so we come here to the vision itself. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And so first of all here, the vision itself, the Apostle John sees a throne set in heaven. A throne set in heaven, the seat of honor and authority and judgment. Heaven is the throne of God. I believe we can accurately say that. Heaven is the throne of God. All earthly thrones or seats of power are under the jurisdiction of the heavenly throne and the one who sits there. All nations before him are as nothing, the Bible says, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity, emptiness, useless in the eyes of an almighty God there in Isaiah chapter 40. Number two here, the vision itself, he not only saw a throne, but he saw a glorious one upon the throne. The throne was not empty, but the throne was occupied by a glorious one. One that sat on the throne. He saw God on his throne in heaven. And then this one, this God who sat on the throne that in John's vision is somewhat described. Who can describe such a scene? And even in the spirit, in his vision, could John do justice to what he saw? But we do get a glimpse, and we get a taste here of what John saw as he saw the glorious one on his throne. Verse 3, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. His countenance was like jasper and a sardine stone. Notice God is not described by human features, but only by his transcendent brightness. Reminds us of the transfiguration in Luke 9, where Jesus experienced that unveiling of the glory that was within him that came up and out. Here God is described, as John sees this vision, like jasper. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Are we here today? Are we gathered together to worship the Almighty God, the God of heaven, the God of creation, in spirit and in truth? The jasper is a transparent stone, and yet it reveals a variety of the most vivid colors, speaking of the glorious perfections of God. The sardine stone is red, speaking of the justice of God, the judgment and the authority of God over all earthly governments, over all individuals, no matter who they think they are, and the church, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in saving as well as destroying sinners. Saving sinners who submit to the lordship of Jesus. One day destroying sinners who refuse in pride and arrogance the salvation that is offered unto them. God has every right to do as he will, yet he chooses to be loving and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation. Oh, what a wonderful God. Oh, that we would worship him today and throughout our lives. He saw a rainbow, as you continue there in verse 3. Like an emerald, God made a covenant with Noah and his posterity to never again destroy the earth with a flood. And he sets this rainbow in the clouds, in the sky, as a sign. There is a new covenant God has made with Christ to the church. This rainbow, like an emerald, there at the end of verse 3. The most prevailing color, this emerald, a pleasant green. I think speaking of and showing the reviving and refreshing nature of God's covenant in Jesus. Even as the grass became dry this summer, and now God has refreshed the earth with a number of rains, and you see that grass spring back from a brown to a pleasant green. We have this emerald here as this one who sat on the throne in verse 2 is described to some little degree in verse 3. like a jasper, any sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, a very pleasant color of green. Verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. John, as he sees this vision, he sees 24 seats that are around the throne of God. There's this throne of God, and there's God sitting on this throne, but then there's a circle of 24 seats around this throne of God. Get this picture in your mind. They are there because they are worshiping the one who is in the center. The glorious one who is in the center on that throne is being worshiped by these 24 elders. There's a circle around the throne, 24 seats. These seats also are occupied, and they are called elders here. Who are they? Possibly they represent the whole church of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old, you have the 12 tribes of Israel. In the New Testament, you have the 12 apostles. I believe this is where this is headed, representing the whole church of God, Old Testament and New. Notice they are sitting, these 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. What does sitting signify? I believe it signifies that they are resting. They are satisfied to sit. And behold, the one that is in the center on that throne that was set in heaven, and the one sitting upon it. They are resting, they are sitting, they are worshiping, and their focus is on the center of that circle. The throne in the center, occupied by God Almighty. They are around God. They are circled around God. They are around God. A relationship. A closeness. The saints of all time are here, I believe. Enjoying God's presence. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Are we making sure of heaven this morning, brothers and sisters, sinner friend? This world doesn't have much, but heaven has it all. Are we ready? I don't know when I'll depart. You don't know when you'll depart from this life. Every day you hear about somebody else that's sick. Maybe it's in me and no one diagnosed it yet. Maybe it's in you and no one diagnosed it yet. We don't know how long we have on this earth, and it doesn't really matter. Eternity will never end. And we have this scene in heaven. We have this glorious one sitting on a throne, and we have the 24 elders around, representing, I believe, the church of all time. And they are focused on the one in the center. They are worshiping him. They are content. They are satisfied. They are resting. Are you looking forward to it? They are clothed in white raiment. Clothed in white raiment. Where'd they get that? What was it? What did it represent? Clothed in white raiment, clothed in robes. The clothing they had on was white, representing the righteousness of the saints, I believe. But where did the saints get that righteousness? Did they find it within themselves because of all the good deeds they had done in life? That they could appear here around the throne dressed in white? It was imputed. My friend, this morning it was transferred. Where you had none and I had none, and I was going to appear naked before the Almighty God, it was imputed, it was transferred from Jesus to you and to me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Transferred from Jesus so that we can be clothed, not in our own wretched filthiness, but in the glorious, bright white of Jesus' righteousness. Crowns of gold at the end of verse 4. They had on their heads crowns of gold. I believe, signifying honor and authority, given from God, the one who sat on the throne in the midst of them. Honor and authority given from God. Verse 5, here we have out of the throne, out of this throne that was in the center that was occupied by God Almighty, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. John perceived lightning and thunderings and the voices coming from the throne. The power and the sovereignty of God. I just want to flip to Exodus for a moment or two, minute or two. Here under the old dispensation, under the old covenant, the church of Moses, you might call it. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. The people of Israel were trembling before the presence of God. And then in chapter 20 of Exodus, 18 to 21, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The fear that enveloped these people because of the near presence of God Almighty. They begged Moses to intercede for them. Oh, that you and I this morning would truly learn with the fear of the Lord to worship Him and to honor Him and sin not. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Job chapter 1, verse 1 describes this man somewhat. And it says there that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed, avoided, shunned evil. So when God gets a hold of us and we truly learn to fear His holiness, that is, have a proper reverential awe of Him, we are going to stay as far from evil and sin as we can. We're not going to dabble around at it. Seven lamps of fire burning here in verse 5, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven, that perfect number in Holy Writ of completeness. Seven in the creation. A week comprised of 7 days. Daniel's 70th week, which is soon coming, a period of 7 years. Back there in Egypt, when Joseph was down there made ruler, there were 7 years of plenty, there were 7 years of famine. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, you can read about sevens. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Seven is that number that God has chosen to represent completeness. Verse 6 of our text here in Revelation chapter 4, John's vision. Verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Before the throne, a sea of glass. You know, going back to the old dispensation, in the temple was a great vessel of brass filled with water, called a sea. It was for the priest to wash before ministering to the Lord. And so in the gospel church, the sea or laver for purification is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all sin. All must be washed who expect to enter God's presence and ever be part of such a heavenly worship as we have before us here in God's Word. All must be washed to enter such a place of holiness around the throne of God. Cleansed of our sin, confessed, forsaken. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Four beasts are mentioned here. The Greek for this four beasts would be living creature. Living creatures. Some Bible scholars believe they were angels. Matthew Henry suggests that they were ministers of the gospel. I don't know. But it's interesting, these four beasts, but read Ezekiel chapter 10 sometime and see a very similar account of Scripture. A very close parallel. It's very interesting. These four beasts here in verse 6, and then further described in verse 7. We're going to go on to the next section here. This was what John saw. And now we're going to look at verses 8 through 11, where John records the heavenly songs that he heard, the heavenly sounds, the sounds that were coming from heaven around the throne. Not only will the sanctified and glorified eye be pleased with the sights of heaven, the sanctified ear and that gives way to glorification will be pleased also with what it hears in heaven. Every sight will be wonderful, and every sound will be wonderful in heaven. Holy, 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 the Godhead, the Holy Trinity. Very similar parallel here in Isaiah chapter 6. I'll read it quickly. In the year that King Uzziah died and saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah said, Woe is me, for I am undone, and because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, full of his glory. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Similarities, three holies, the Trinity, the triune God, six wings, etc. There was just a lot of similarities there. The object of worship. When you get to heaven, by the love and mercy and grace of God, and the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus Christ, when you get to heaven, the object of worship, what will it be? The one Lord God Almighty. The saints must never worship. As we work our way toward heaven and we worship here on earth the one true God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the saints must never worship in a mixed assembly. Congregational worship must be united by the truth. It's the only place you can truly worship. When all that are gathered together are unified on the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in such a setting that we can truly worship. The one triune God must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the beasts, the living creatures, they lead in worship. And verse 10, the 24 elders, we see them again, fall down, and before him they, They fall down before him and that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. The 24 elders again. I believe all the saints. They follow in worship. As these living creatures lead in worship, all these saints of all time, they follow their lead in worship. Notice what they do. They fall down. And if it wouldn't be too distracting, maybe I'd fall down, but I don't think I will. I'll probably hurt myself. But have you ever fallen down? Literally, physically. In a desperate need to get before God and call upon him and worship him. Worship. They fall down. In other words, this speaks of humility. It speaks of reverence, godly fear for the one they are worshiping. And they cast their crowns, giving total glory and praise and adoration for their salvation and a heavenly home. Casting crowns, an act of adoration, an act of worship. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. More words of adoration. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Why? He is God. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. The one who was and is and forever will be. I like some verses in Revelation chapter 5 to go along with this. Revelation chapter 5, 12 to 14. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Notice this list of words here, these different descriptions here of worship. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. How many was it? It was 7. Complete worship. That number 7 is in that verse. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God in heaven, must receive all this from us. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Are we ready? Are we worshiping him now? And are we ready for that big change when worship can become complete? And as Brother Jim prayed, that God would accept our worship now in its incompleteness. Sevenfold worship, complete worship there in Revelation 5, 12 to 14. Revelation 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. 7. Be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Again, the sevenfold complete worship of our Creator God. May God be merciful and forgiving of our incomplete, imperfect worship here on earth, and grant that we may join the angels in heaven someday in complete worship of the one who sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But God came along. Worship. Now I can sing, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. That's wonderful, isn't it? We don't have to be all stirred up with the things that are happening. And they even, sometimes it gets to me a little. But the things that are happening all around us, we can sing, praise God, I'm a child of the King of glory. Let's pray.